Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, it's Jack from Cultaholic back again with another 9 pitches video because it's Hell in a Cell this weekend, and it's probably worth mentioning straight away to check out all of our coverage of Hell in a Cell this week. I'm joined by Ross, and I'm joined by an impassioned and angry Andrew Hodkinson.
Oh, what are you doing me for?
You dirty man. Look at you. Foul potty mouth of yours, bringing the sophistication and class of Cultaholic wrestling to the very bottom drawer.
So for anybody who doesn't quite understand, I've seen a few comments saying, what's this Andrew situation about? So for anybody who's not been following along, I mean, it's all subjective, but Adam Pacitti, I think we've since learned, framed Andrew for defacing the office, throwing Yorkshire puddings at it. Andrew has since been proven innocent, but Adam kind of stirred up a bit of a campaign of hate against him, and Andrew just had enough on this week's Twitch stream. You had enough, Andrew. You went on a bit of an outburst, didn't you?
Just the things he's been saying about the people, just the viewers, the subscribers we've got. It was deplorable, let me tell you that. And I felt sick to my stomach. And all these things he's been saying, all these rumors he's been spreading about this, that, and the other, smashing me over the head with a picture frame. It just bubbled over, Jack, and I was just ready to go.
Shades of Jack the Jobber circa 2016.
Ooh.
It's I can feel sort of changes in the air, but it'll all be decided at Hell in a Cell because you are taking on Adam Pacitti in the predictions contest. The loser will have to, I don't know if we've revealed what the loser's gonna have to do.
Oh, well, yeah, we have.
Oh, we have. The loser will have to undergo the traditional Hell in a Smell punishment. Whoa!
Do you know what that is, Andrew?
What?
Do you know the severity of what you're walking into here?
I actually do, and I'm actually very scared. 24-hour
live stream where you can't sleep, otherwise you'd be violating YouTube's terms of service.
Oh no.
So best of luck.
Thank you.
The fate of Cultaholic is very much in the hands of Andrew or Adam, depending on who wins. But before we get to that, we do have some pitches to talk about for Hell in a Cell. And remember, well, first of all, I'll go through the format. I got ahead of myself slightly there. We'll go around in a circle and we'll each give one pitch each 3 times, and that'll lead to 9 lovely pitches for Hell in a Cell. But remember the golden rule, of course. It's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Yes. Ross, we will start off. He's just dabbed there. We'll start off with you, Ross. What have you got for us?
We forgot to mention, by the way, but this all started with Andrew because he laughed at his own joke. Do you remember those days when he laughed at his own joke? What kind of a sick...
I don't remember this.
That was the entire genesis of Andrew and all these deplorable things
no.
he did.
No, it was... I don't want to... Now it's going to sound bad if I throw it on Owen as well, but I was like, it was just me and Owen being
idiots. Oh, you're blaming other people
I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming Owen. We were just having a laugh, and then it carried on over, and things got out of hand from... Adam just spreading horrible things, and that's where we are. That's where we're at now.
You can see why he went there, though, because, of course, you laughing at your own joke means you are an arsehole. But anyway, I'm not happy with the debut of Piper Niven on Monday Night Raw. Still, as I'm sat here right now, that's the only segment I've seen from last night's Raw. This video is going live on Tuesday evening. Therefore, last night's Raw is the Raw I'm talking about here. I think Corey Graves saying, "Who is this young lady?" when she's been a huge part of NXT UK for a long time, is completely wrong. Me and Jack said this on the news video this morning. What is the point in NXT UK if the commentary team are going to bury Someone like Piper Niven, who has been a very prominent part of that brand since it's been a thing. She's been in WWE since 2017, I think I read this morning somewhere. It's scandalous, I tell you, lads. It's scandalous. So I'm heading over to Shayna Baszler versus Alexa Bliss at Hell in a Cell 2021. And I'm proposing that we see a little bit of a match between Shayna Baszler and Alexa Bliss. Maybe we see some spooky shenanigans, because we all know how much we love the spooky shenanigans. But halfway through the match, let's say, I want Eve Marie's music to hit. I want everyone to go, oh no, Eve Marie's coming out. I can't stand Eve Marie. I want Corey Graves to blot right in the face of the new commentator on Monday Night Raw. What's he called? Billy Bob.
Yeah, Billy. Yeah.
Billy Bob. Billy Bob. But it's not Eve Marie. It's Piper Niven. Named as such, Piper Niven. Oh my God, look, it's Piper Niven, who's worked for this company for going on 5 years at this point. She saunters her way down to the ring, mocking Eve Marie's mannerisms. Oh, she's making Eve Marie look like a right mug, I tell thee. I've gone Yorkshire. It's rubbing off on me.
Join us.
She gets in the ring. She rips the head off of Lily. She says, what the hell is this, Pash? You're a stupid doll. WWE, please be better in your creative endeavors, will you? That's a direct quote there from Piper Niven as part of this pitch. She absolutely dominates both Shayna and Alexa Bliss. She, like, proper brutalizes them. Like, there's blood. There's all sorts of bodily fluids coming out of Shayna and Alexa Bliss. That's how much Piper Niven has beaten them down. She walks over to the commentary team. She looks at Corey Graves right in the eye, and she puts that prick through the announcer's table. If Corey Graves is able to take such a bump, if he's not, I'll accept just a swift hoof to the nads. Because of concussions and whatnot. She shouts, who's this young lady? And Piper Flippin' Niven. That's hard to do with the Scottish accent. But you know what I'm trying to do? The PG version of that there ICW chant that they seem to do for a lot of people, didn't they, Jack, back
in
the day?
Yeah, I think
Piper Flippin' Niven.
Yeah.
I'm just alienating all of Scotland right here. She then gets on the mic and she gets in the ring. She says, Eve Marie, you're a bloody Ned. Which I've looked up, and that's a derogatory term in Scotland applied to hooligans, louts, or petty criminals. Mm. I would class Eve Marie, in terms of wrestling, as a lout. I used you to get on the Raw roster, Piper Niven says. Yeah, crap in the ring, probably. We don't know. We haven't seen you, Eve Marie, but I assume since you needed me, you're a bit still rubbish at the wrestling. So you're absolutely buggered without me, because I've used you to get on this roster and now I'm casting you off to one side. I don't need you. I'm all on my own now. She then lambasts the ignorance of the commentators, running them down for not knowing who she is, even though she's been there for going on 5 years. As I said earlier, she takes us through all the titles, everything she's been through. You know, we were saying this morning, Jack, weren't we? Piper Niven has travelled the world. She's done everything twice. She's held titles everywhere. Mae Young Classic, NXT UK. She's done it all kinds of matches, everything you want to do as a wrestler. She's done it. She doesn't deserve who is this young lady. That was a load of rubbish. We then go fast forward through, I presume, to later on the night where we're seeing Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte. She then beats up the winner, because Piper Niven is really hard and really strong, and she's not some ditzy, naive sidekick that we've never, ever seen or heard from before.
Yeah.
So there's my pitch. In a night, we make Piper Niven a serious threat in the Raw Women's Division, because God knows we need one in the Raw Women's Division.
It's an immediate yes from me, because at first I was like, oh, this is a little bit drastic. It's just such a 180 from what we've seen on Raw. But now I'm like, actually, that's exactly what we need, because Raw has really set her up for, I don't know if failure is the right word, but it's not got her off to the best start at all.
I mean, already everywhere she's been this big sort of dominating, like powerhouse wrestler, but now she's come on Raw and she appears to be a naive sort of ditzy, just happy to be here.
She was clapping and that. Right. She destroyed Naomi, a former women's champion, and was like, oh my God, I've done it. What?
Like, you should expect to do that. You're Piper Niven, for goodness sake. Slap yourself around the head, woman. But yeah, that's it. Yeah, we need a flip 180, and that's what I want to happen at Hell in a Cell.
It's a yes from me. And what a goal at Hampden Park, by the way, as well. What absolutely incredible scenes. Andrew, what have you got to say about this pitch?
Big fat yes. I'm a massive Piper Niven fan. I think she's amazing. And just how she was portrayed, like you guys were saying last night, weird. It's like when people come up to the main roster, just the magic of that person usually just kind of like it disappears a little bit, and I really don't want that to happen for Piper, especially not on the women's division on Raw as well, where we need some more sort of challenges for Rhea Ripley. Hopefully if she does go on to win the belt at the retain the belt at the weekend, and I think that would be a fantastic place to go. So it's a big fat yes from me.
Fantastic. You. Ross, you've got us off to a wonderful start there. Congratulations.
Just like the Czech Republic at Euro 2020.
Absolutely. Andrew, what is your first pitch?
Well, it also involves Piper Niven, so it's not as elaborate as Ross's. It's a little bit not as elaborate, but
I'll tell you. You're saying there.
I'm saying it's not as good as yours, Ross. Yeah, sorry. But here we go. Right. So we get a backstage interview with Rhea Ripley, and she's talking about how when she beat Charlotte Flair at Hell in a Cell tonight, who's the left for her to face? Ooh, who's going to...
Andrew, ask one question before you proceed with your pitch? I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Go on.
Does this feature some patented Andrew Hodkinson dialogue? Because I love your dialogue in these pitches.
There's a little bit of dialogue. One later on has got lots of dialogue, so don't worry about that.
Sorry, carry on. Dialogue. Sorry about that.
Anyway, so yeah. So Rhea Ripley...
Spielberg.
Thank you. She's talking about how when she beat Charlotte at Hell in a Cell tonight, who's the left for her to face? She's already beaten Asuka. Shayna Baszler's off playing with the little dollies, so she's not gonna fight her anytime soon. And there's no one else in the locker room that could hold a candle to her, especially if she beats the self-proclaimed queen tonight. Cue Eva Marie. Eva Marie comes in. However, it's not Eva Marie we should have our eye on, as Eva is speaking about how she deserves to be the holder of the Raw Women's title. Rhea Ripley isn't giving Eva any attention at all. Instead, she's eyeing Piper Niven, who's standing behind Marie. Both staring daggers at one another as Eva just continues to mouth off at how she should be the one to hold the title. As the camera pans out from focusing on Piper Niven and Rhea just daggers at each other. Eva's just tapping Piper. She's like, hey, come on, let's go. We'll see you soon, Rhea. Good luck tonight. And then as they walk off, Piper and Ripley, they still got their eyes locked on each other. And as Piper passes by, just both of them smirk at each other. And I'm like, come on, let's just set this up. Let's get the ball rolling on this, because both of them have had, I think, two singles matches in NXT UK. Piper's won one and Rhea's won the other.
Oh.
And I think as well, Piper was like, I'm the most dominant force in NXT UK. And that's when Rhea Ripley came out at I think that was the first match that they had with each other, and they batted each other and it was a great match. And I think you could pull little bits from that storyline, bring it into this and just make it, give it to me, please, because I think it would be a fantastic match. And again, let's try and get Piper Niven away from all this Eva Marie stuff, please, and make her a force of her own.
Yeah, I like it. It's less extreme than Ross's, definitely.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's along the right lines as well. Mm. So I'm going to give it a yes, I think.
Thanks.
Just found something on my neck. Oh, I thought it was a fly. It's not. It's just a bit of the cushion. Okay.
Oh, wow. I'm glad you're okay, Jack. Yes, I agree. It needs to happen, doesn't it? It's we know why it's happening. It's because, obviously, the set of eyes who are booking Monday Night Raw belong to Vince McMahon. And Bruce Pritchard will be telling them what to do and stuff. And historically, yeah, that's just what they do, isn't it? That's just what they do. They just don't treat people seriously, do they? When they're slightly bigger, let's say. So it's a shame. It shouldn't be a thing, but it is. And yeah, it needs to change. So I agree, Andrew. A nice pitch there. Well done.
Thank you.
Very good stuff. It's my turn now, and I'm going to change track slightly and go to the Hell in a Cell match between Roman Reigns and Rey Mysterio. Now, we all know that Roman Reigns is going to win this match. It would be a massive, massive shock. One of the biggest upsets ever if Rey Mysterio was to beat him. So I think the drama needs to come from elsewhere. Not the result of the match, but something that happens in the match. And what I'm saying here is that I think Dominic needs to go for a ride off the top of the Hell in a Cell structure. Yeah, I know. And I feel like, even though sometimes we do quite outlandish pitches, I feel like this one isn't too far from a possibility, just because there's no crowd there. They can make it really safe if they want to. They did a similar spot on last week's SmackDown where Dom got thrown over the top rope onto presumably a crash mat. And I think they could work it so that it looks really scary but is actually safe at Hell in a Cell. So I think it's just your standard sort of setup. You know, Roman's being really mean to Ray. He drags him up to the top of the cell. He's going to throw him off. Dom runs out to make the save. So Dom ends up being the one thrown off the cell. Ray obviously goes mad, has a bit of a comeback, but Roman wins in the end. And he's just absolutely decimated the Mysterio family. I don't know what this means for the tag team titles, admittedly. I don't know what that means there, because Dom is still one half of the champions and he would have to be off for a while to sell the injury.
That doesn't matter. Ray can just beat everybody, because that's all he's doing these days, aren't
they? That is true. That is true. So yes, that's mine. Dominic gets destroyed at Hell in a Cell, but in a safe way because of the advantage of not having a live crowd.
Because I was thinking, I was trying to think of like a way to do something with the cell, obviously, like getting thrown off or put through stuff. But like that would be really cool. And I think with Dom being a younger boy, I think he could probably, not that I'm saying chuck him straight off top at cell, because that would obviously, you know, it hurts people. But I think it makes more sense for it to be Dom, I think, as well. And that gets Mysterio riled up, because, oh, you're putting your hands on my son and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I think that could be really cool. So yes.
Yeah. I think we're either going to see something like that or something where Roman tries to, the only two despicable things I can think that Roman could do would be that or something to do with the mask. Maybe he goes for the mask or whatever. Mm. But I think the Dom one has legs in it, definitely. But
or
Ross,
he could
what do you think?
Do Shades of Undertaker at WrestleMania with Big Boss Man.
Try and hang him. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he could do that. Why not?
Why not?
This is the one chance I think they've got left to really do something that they couldn't do with a live crowd there, because obviously the live crowd would see how it works. So yeah, get him tossed off that cage. I tell thee, Andrew, once again, I go Yorkshire. Yeah, make him do a big flip like Chris Canyon way back in the day.
I met one of our new editors for the first time, obviously, because of lockdown and everything, Joel. And Andrew, he is also a Yorkshireman.
Is he actually?
Well, he's from West Yorkshire, not North like yourself.
Not
is
wrong
there
with
a
that.
Rivalry there? Is that fine?
No, it's fine. We're all one collective. It's good.
I had a few beers and I said, is that a bit of a Scouse twang you have there? And he got very offended straight away.
But he is a Liverpool fan.
Oh!
Despite being from West Yorkshire.
He must have been put on to try and impress Owen or something.
Owen was very impressed there was another Liverpool fan. There might even be more Liverpool than Newcastle fans in the office right now. Anyway, whose turn is it now? It's Ross's second go. There you go. Sorry about that sidetrack there.
Right, I just need to say once again, hopefully this pitch has not been made impossible due to what happened on last night's Raw. My pitch is for Drew versus Bobby, and basically I want those two lads to have a really good match. That is my pitch.
Nice. What would make it?
All right. To be honest with you, I was really struggling to come up with pitches today, so that was my initial sort of first draft for a pitch. They have a really good match, full stop. That is my pitch, full stop. Now, they have a really good match, but in the closing stages of the match, I would like to see Kofi Kingston appear at the top of the ramp, because as far as I'm aware, which could have changed last night on Raw, I hope it hasn't, he's still loosely involved in the title picture a bit. Did that change?
It didn't really develop one way or the other.
That's all right then. No problem there whatsoever. Kofi then walks down to the ring and climbs up to the top of the Hell in a Cell structure. This is while the match is still going on. Kofi then enters the cell in a really cool way from above. Now, I'm picturing Kofi doing a trust fall through the roof of a cage like he's playing Here Comes the Pain. He only used to like sort of bang on the, you know, have that one square that would give way. Just imagine Kofi doing a trust fall through that square and just land gracefully in the center of the ring. But I understand if he couldn't pull that off in real life. I'd understand. Kofi enters the cage in a really cool way because he's Kofi Kingston. Sort of around the ring, I'm picturing sort of Brian Kendrick, the Brian Kendrick in like 2008, just sort of like being very lucid and very, whoa, trippy man, like he's just had a massive bifter or something like that. Okay. Bobby and Drew continue to batter the poo out of each other because they're so focused on each other and they don't really pay attention to Kofi, who is now inside of the Hell in a Cell. But it looks like Daddy Drew has the upper hand here as he channels the will of William Wallace and that fella from the cave and the spider last week that I forgot the name of, and Rabsy Nesbitt and James McFadden and all the other Scottish people. It's getting a bit too much, Drew. Calm it down, man, will you, WWE? It looks like he's going to win there with a Claymore kick. But Kofi gets involved, doesn't he? Kofi stops Drew McIntyre winning the match and therefore allows Bobby Lashley to pick up the win. It's because of Kofi Kingston that Bobby has beat Drew, and it's because of Kofi Kingston that Drew can no longer challenge Bobby for the WWE title. And Kofi has done this not because he just doesn't like Drew, it's because of that stipulation at the end. Then it makes complete sense for Kofi Kingston to get first in line, because to be honest with you, who else is there on Monday Night Raw who could be challenging for Bobby Lashley's WWE title if it's not Drew McIntyre? Yeah. And now we've got sort of one of two avenues we can go down from here. We can either go down sort of the boring route, which would be Kofi Kingston being a valiant babyface and whatnot, or we could go down and just blatantly copy MJF in the Inner Circle for a bit, but do it better, because I thought it could have been done better.
What, in what way? What's that?
Just the way, what am I trying to say here? How did that not measure up for me? Was it the length of it? Was it over too quickly?
As in
Was it
Kofi
something
would,
like that?
As in Kofi would
join the Hurt Business.
And then from the inside, bring them down.
Yes. He would enjoy the rubs on the chest from those ladies while he sat on those couches backstage, which is all they seem to do, isn't it? They just seem to sit on the couches and they rub Bobby's leg and chest and whatnot.
And I think that in that angle as well, I reckon Xavier Woods would steal the show as the betrayed former friend at first.
That's the thing as well. That's the thing I've got written down here, because down the line, let's say somehow if Kofi Kingston wins the WWE title, imagine the backstory we've got there with Xavier Woods, and Xavier Woods being a very likable guy himself, him being the babyface, and then maybe Kofi, if somehow Kofi turns heel in this entire scenario, somehow, some way, just write a good story to read. He could do it. We know he can. He can just do it. You could have a babyface and heel feud between those two there. Again, I'm a bit conflicted because I've long said I don't want the New Day to ever split up. I just want them always to be a thing and buck that trend that's been in wrestling forever. But who knows what might happen from here, because I'd rather Kofi Kingston do something like this than rather just be a part of just another tag team as the New Day are on Monday Night Raw here in 2021, which is a bit of a shame, but also, I guess, understandable because of tag team wrestling in WWE. But there we go.
I like that pitch. Just before we move on, I did check to see if there was any developments with Kofi on last night's Raw. There's nothing that will contradict your pitch here. This is courtesy of Thomas Hall's review of the show on 411 Mania. He says, MVP is talking to the New Day and suggests that Kofi Kingston is losing because Xavier Woods is the weak link. This could be leading where you're saying, Ross. New Day doesn't want to hear it, and Kofi gives a fired-up speech about how his friends helped him get here. MVP wishes him luck on Sunday, but then remembers that Kofi doesn't actually have a match booked on the pay-per-view.
You sassy bugger, MVP. What do you like, eh?
So I think that could actually be going the way. But I like your pitch, Ross. Whether it happens in real life or not, I'm giving it a yes.
Yeah, it gets a yes from me as well. I'd like to see a heel Kofi, and I would like to see Kofi and Xavier go at it as well. I think that would be really cool. And then I'm a big Xavier Woods fan, so I'd like to see him get sort of his time to shine too on his own. I think that would be really... really cool, and it just adds a little bit more spice to the whole sort of
a little bit of spice
to the whole Bobby and Drew stuff as well. So yeah, I'm all in for that one.
I think there's a good chance, mate, because imagine like 5 years ago having Xavier Woods having like a standout match, singles match on Monday Night Raw against someone like Riddle. Just wouldn't happen, would it?
No.
We're turning the tide, changing the tables.
Very good.
Like that.
Andrew, are you going to continue to turn the tables with your second pitch?
I'm going to save my big elaborate one for last. So this is, again, not as good as Ross's.
You can't preface everyone. Come on.
I know.
I'm just
telling the truth. It's not as good as Ross's. He really thought that one out. And this also involves the Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley one. I think we've seen this feud go on just for long enough, and if Drew's to win the title back, I think it's got to be more impactful and in front of a full crowd. And I think we need to see him claw his way back up to that position too, instead of just being like handed it straight away, like continuously all the time. So I think I do really want to see Drew McIntyre lose at Hell in a Cell and then not be able to challenge for a little while. I propose that we see Drew lose this one here. It's a hard-fought battle, a really good match. Drew gives it his all, but he comes up short and can't reclaim the gold. And as Bobby's celebrating, walking up the ramp with his, insert Jack the Jobber, lovely ladies.
Wait, start again? I called him that in the podcast notes there, but you didn't add a Pacitti impression there. Though.
Well, I thought you like put a little voice on when you said it. Lovely lady.
She's a very sexy lady.
Yeah, just like that. Yeah. We'll take that one. Drew pipes up. He's got a microphone and he pipes up. He's congratulating Bobby on the win. He was clearly the better wrestler tonight. And while some in the WWE universe might be pleased with this outcome, as they believe for a while now that Drew has worn out his welcome in the title picture, it's time to introduce someone who truly does deserve their shot at the championship. Someone who has worked hard their entire life to get where they are, only to have the rug pulled out of from underneath them multiple times.
Here is sensational, Andrew.
I might get handed opportunities, but this man has earned every single one of them. The lights go out. Ball on the Titantron. Smacking my head off my head there. Boom on the Titantron. All basking his glory. Strewn across the Titantron. And the lights return. There's a menacing looking Keith Lee at the other end of the ramp. He's ready to unleash all the pent-up emotion he's been holding back for the last few months. And he charges towards Bobby Lashley at full speed. And reminiscent of the time he punted Adam Cole all the way into the crowd in NXT, he bulldozes through Lashley and sends him crashing through the Hell in a Cell wall, and it just topples down.
Shades of Lashley doing that himself at December 2 Dismember.
There you go, exactly.
Wait,
right?
Was it then? I can't remember when it was.
Wait,
Lashley's done that before.
I was against Umanga in a
cage. Was against Umanga.
Umanga.
He's jumped through, but he did it on purpose then. This would be a nice callback, though. I like it.
And he sends him crashing through the cell wall. Keith Lee sends a message to the WWE champion, and he's come in for what he rightly deserves a shot at. And then both McIntyre and Lee give an acknowledging nod to one another. And that's the pitch. That's the one.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I mean, it's a yes from me, Andrew. Again, you've said it was worse than Ross's. I think it was as good, just different. So I'm going to give it a yes. It's a
Thank you.
From me. And you, crucially, you didn't forget about Keith. And we were all quite guilty of doing that recently. So.
We can't forget about Keith.
Mm. No, you Ross. Can't. I'm fully on board. There's nothing I would love to see more than Keith Lee make a return to the wrestling and be a main eventer challenging for the WWE title. I hope that Keith's okay. It's a very strange situation going on with Keith. I don't know quite what's going on there, but hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he comes back to the wrestling sooner rather than later. And your way, Andrew, is a wonderful way to do it.
Thank you.
I think we're 100% for yeses so far. Mm. My next one, again, like you two, I was really struggling to think of three pitches for this card just because there's not that much to really go off. But what I've done is I've taken a situation that isn't actually yet on Hell in a Cell. Might be added to the pre-show or something. I'm just going to force it in. So there was a segment on this week's Raw that really, really confused me. And it came so soon after the Piper Niven one that I was just like, what has the state of women's wrestling become? When you look a few years ago, Becky Lynch was the biggest star in the company. The biggest storyline in the company was her rise to the title. Everything was good. The main event of WrestleMania definitely didn't feel like they'd just done it to give the women a main event. It felt earned and it felt real. And now it's just all gone downhill because what happened, right? If you haven't seen it on last night's Raw, I know Ross probably, you said you haven't seen all of Raw yet, so you might not have seen it.
Tell me, I can't wait.
So backstage, right? Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose are doing a photo shoot, right? And they hear a noise in the background. It's like putting them off. It's distracting them. It's like bumping. And they look over. They're like, what is this? And they walk over. Now, the photo shoot setup is right next to the training ring. And Natalya and Tamina are in there training. And they're like, what are you doing? You're interrupting our photo shoot with your training. I was like, what? And then they have an argument. Natalya and Tamina say, you're all beauty over talent. And then the Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, well, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your surnames anyway, lasses. So what are you on about? Oh. And then they're like, all right. And the Tamina are like, all right, then come on then. And then Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke go, all right then. And they get in the training ring. They have a bit of a brawl. Then some refs get in and separate them. I don't know who I'm meant to cheer for. Like, I have no idea who's the good guy in that situation. Is it Mandy and Dana for defying the stereotype that just because they've got looks, they're stupid and they don't deserve it? Because they went in and they were up for it. They were like, no, we'll fight you. Or are Tamina and Natalya the good guys for being the pure wrestlers and not caring about their looks as much as and not doing the photo shoots and all that? I don't get what's happening.
Well, so, in this, the Mandy and Dana are hypocrites, aren't they? Remember a few weeks ago when they were running away from Shayna and Nigel? Yes. Oh, it's not worth it. Hypocrites, yeah. Jack. You can't get behind a hypocrite.
I don't know what's going on. I don't want to get behind any of them. None of these four wrestlers were written in a sympathetic way, in my opinion, in this segment. And it shows that there's just no depth in the women's tag division, as we well know. So what I think should happen is these two have a match, maybe on the pre-show of Hell in a Cell or something, and the match gets just taken over by the NXT tag team champions of the women's division, Candice LeRae and Indi Hartwell. And they come along. They like tear up some. They're kicking ass. And just as the pre-show is about to go off the air as well, so it's all chaotic. The commentators don't know what's going on. They're like, "Whoa!" And basically, they're like, "No, we're here to show you what really is class. And I think, hopefully, what I'm thinking is this will lead to a feud between them and whoever the main roster women's tag champs happen to be at the time, which probably Natalya and Tamina. And they have a unification match. NXT wins, and the women's tag belts on the main roster just cease to exist because it's not helping anybody, and it's really betraying the lack of depth on that main roster in terms of the women's tag division, especially since they made a load of releases for no reason. So that's mine. I'm thinking Candice and Indi take over the show. It sets up some sort of unification match, probably at a takeover, so you've got the home crowd on side for the NXT. Even though they're heels, I think it's still a raucous atmosphere. And I think that'll be the way I want to go with it.
Hear.
Yeah, sure.
Turn to a Tory backbencher. Get rid of the women's tag team titles on the main roster. It's a creative way to do it, and it's productive as well, because then Candice and Indi can go away. Hey, we beat some main roster people. Mm. We are the best. We are number one.
Absolutely. That would be one of the best things, I think, for the women's division. NXT are so far ahead when it comes to women's tag team wrestling. It is insane. And have them come over, have them win the belts. That would be amazing. Unify them together. And then maybe just like crossover. Why don't we have the main roster belts? Well, sorry, if we unified it, why not have?
Yeah.
NXT tag teams and main roster tag teams coming together to fight for these belts. I think it'd really put a lot more stock in other tag teams that are on the main roster that aren't necessarily class as good. If they're fighting with better teams on NXT, let's build some stock in them and shake things up a bit. I think that's a really awesome idea.
Well, I totally agree, but I think first they need to create some, because there's about two women's tag teams on the main roster.
That's very true.
Mm. Mm. Right, excellent stuff. Ross, what's your final pitch?
So after Roman Reigns has retired Rey Mysterio, we see Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman making their way through the car park towards the Roman Mobile, which I picture being a Roman Reliant, a three-wheeler. That's how funny that would be, seeing Roman and Paul in a three-wheeler going around corners and whatnot. Anyway, down the bottom of the car park, in the background of shots, let's just picture a Roman Reliant in the foreground. In the background, a pair of car headlights turn on. Is it Brum from the early 90s? No, it's not. Oh. We don't know who it is, actually. We hear, wah, 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 tish, wah, tish. We're moving through the gears. That's what the Jarvis do, Jack.
I thought it was someone's theme music. I was like,
my Ford Fiesta goes quick. I've got a thing on the exhaust pipe that makes it go, wah, tish.
Right.
Wah, that's when you change gear, it goes tish. So the car is now steaming towards the Roman Reliant and Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. It's, some might say, lads, it's moving towards these two people and their car in both a fast and a furious manner.
Yes!
Roman and Paul are mowed down by this car. They are sent flying. Paul Heyman's doing cartwheels through the air. Roman Reigns is doing 6 or 7 backflips. For all we know, we have just witnessed a murder, a double murder, live at Hell in a Cell 2021. Just as the show is about to go off the air, the cameraman runs towards this both fast and furious car, which is now in a stationary position, otherwise the cameraman wouldn't be able to catch it. So the camera just gets to the driver's side window, which is tinted, of course, because it's, you know, the films and whatnot, and it's all sexy and seductive and stuff. And the car window starts to wind down very slowly. And very gently, we see the coif, we see the shiny forehead, we see the more brown eyebrows than ever been brown before in their lives. He's got definitely got some sort of colouring going on there, hasn't he? We see John Cena, He's in the front seat of this car. He's just potentially murdered Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. And it's just that I've got some dialogue written down here. It goes, oh, Taiwan's a real country. Oh, go and watch me film when it comes out. It's really good, honest. And oh, Roman, wabba do that, bitch tits. And he drives off into the night. Roman and Paul are written off SmackDown for a while, which seems like a massive risk. Seems like a massive risk because every week they're a highlight. But we can't have main event Jey Uso, the right-hand man, and Jimmy, and that whole storyline filling the gaps there. We can't have segments between Roman and Paul in the hospital because they aren't really dead. It's just dramatic and stuff, isn't it? Yeah. They've just been severely injured by John Cena, who is bothered by just Roman Reigns' sheer star power and the fact that Roman has now actually become what he was threatening to become a few years ago, and that was the face of the WWE. And John Cena, even though he's doing the films, doesn't like that because he cannot let go, can he, John? Can you, John, eh? You can't let go, can you, Bonnie lad? I see you interviewing, getting interviewed, sorry, by Chris Van Vliet. You cannot let go of the wrestling, can you? You're coming back for some more, and we know, I think we know that's SummerSlam this year, so that sets up a bit of spice on the SummerSlam storyline for 2021 was John Cena trying to kill Roman Reigns, which you might think makes John Cena the heel. But the sheer destruction that Roman Reigns has been through or been doing on SmackDown, I'd say some people might say he deserves that, what's happening there. He tried to do that to Dominic Mysterio last week on SmackDown with that yeet bomb out the ring to the floor. So maybe he gets his comeuppance here for a short period of time and he continues being a heel because he survives and, oh, we nearly got him. We nearly got him.
And presumably, yeah, that leads to SummerSlam where Roman would win.
You would have to say so, yeah. Just to continue. I'm strapped. I tell you, I'm strapped in my booster seat and ready for 2 years of title reign from Roman Reigns, just all the way through. And then we build up somebody. Who's it going to be? I've got no idea, to finally topple him and become the next man in the wrestling.
I think I really like that. It's outrageous, but I like it. My favourite bit is actually
The dialogue's your favourite
part? My second favourite bit, and this is going to sound so pretentious, was what was unsaid by the book in there, Ross. By what I mean there is... What it means basically is that Cena's not going to win the Money in the Bank, because I'm really worried that Cena's going to win the Money in the Bank briefcase and that'll ruin the chance to elevate somebody who really needs it. So I like the fact that not only does it set up a huge SummerSlam main event, but it also allows for the Money in the Bank briefcase to happen on Raw away from this whole situation. So it's a yes from me. Andrew.
Oh, you had me at Roman Reliant. Young man.
I sat there for nearly 15 minutes trying to think of car puns and Roman Reigns, and that was as good as I could do. It's not been a good day on the creative front.
That's not too bad. I like that. And and when you were just, as soon as you're doing that, rants, I was like, oh, it's got to be Cena. I think that would be so cool. It's a big yes from me. And I mean, like you were saying, Roman's done some horrible, horrible things these last few months, and let Cena do something. Who's going to put this man down? Maybe Cena can't even put him down by running him over in a car. It's crazy stuff.
This is the thing, isn't it? In a weird way, Roman is that much of a heel. We should be cheering an attempted murder on Roman Reigns.
Yeah, exactly.
We should be getting behind the babyface here trying to kill the bad man.
But I think this is... I think you said your creative juices were not at top notch, but I think that's a really creative way of doing it, and something a little bit different from Cena as well, who we often see as just very, very standard and sort of predictable in the things that he does. So something like that, I think, would be awesome. And WWE just like to tie films into everything these days anyway, don't they? So,
oh God, yeah,
it's going to happen.
I forgot about that.
You know, actually going to happen.
We're gonna have a drag race at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
we're going to have a Vin Diesel running. It's going to be fantastic. Now, I just feel there, Andrew, what you said is quite interesting, because you were saying that Cena wouldn't normally do something this destructive and dangerous. Mm. I feel like he has attempted to do serious harm to people before.
Yeah.
Just with a smile on his face, so everyone's like, Cena. But do you remember when he buried Wade Barrett under the pile of chairs?
Oh, yeah, he like pulled the thing down and it all fell.
For no reason. The match was over. The match was won. Do you remember when he I think it was against maybe Batista. He had an I Quit match with someone and he had them in position for an FU, and they quit. And he just did it anyway. Through like the roof of the ambulance or something,
and then there was that,
and he just went like that, and the crowd were all like, "Ooh!" And then he goes,
"Yeah,
yay!"
I do remember. Oh, and then with JBL as well. He absolutely battered JBL that one time, didn't he? And that was
He's a nasty man.
Yeah, he's a nasty man. I take back
all,
what I said.
I want to you know, a point in the camp of Big Match John here. In all fairness, the guy did get stabbed by Jesus back in the day, didn't he?
He did get stabbed by Jesus. Yeah. He's got to let it out somehow.
Why he would go to such severe lengths. It's been done to him, and it can't be nice being stabbed by Jesus.
Yeah. Andrew, is it your turn for your final pitch?
It is. It's my final one. Mine and Ross's have like paralleled one another, this whole entire thing. So I'm also talking about the Roman Reigns and Rey Mysterio match. But again, it's another twist with the whole family stuff. So as much as I love Rey Mysterio, he's one of my all-time favourites ever. I'm not particularly fussed about this match, I have to say. It feels just cobbled together to get to the next chapter in the Tribal Chief story. But yeah, I got a little bit of an idea of where I'd like it to go. So the match starts straight off the bat. Rey tries to get some flurries in. He's furious at Reigns for what he's done to his son, just powerbombing him out of the ring and stuff. He's got a kendo stick in hand and he takes it to Reigns, but it's no use. Reigns has just had enough of all this. He doesn't see Rey as a threat. And with each thwack of the kendo stick, he's just getting more pumped up. Rey catches him in the head, though, and Roman's like, whoa, he stumbles back a bit. But whoa, bounces back, slam, hits a spear, lines up for a Superman punch, boom. He leaves Rey motionless. Rey is done. And then instead of pinning him, Roman takes the kendo stick and uses it to do some form of, like, modified guillotine choke to put Rey down for good. The ref calls for Roman to stop, but he doesn't, which then leads Dominic to come to his father's aid. But again, much like SmackDown from last week, it's no good. Dominic is just overpowered by Reigns, who powerbombs him into the wall of the cell multiple times. You get him up, whoa, and then chuck him out of the ring and he bounces off cell wall and all that kind of stuff. And he does it multiple times, throws him back into the ring. And in similar fashion to like last year's Hell in a Cell, he grabs the steps and he places it over the top of Dom. He ties Rey up in the ropes and tells him to acknowledge him or his son is never going to wrestle again.
Ooh.
Rey's frantically, he's trying to escape. He's kicking and screaming that he acknowledges Roman. But Roman smirks anyway. He grabs a chair. He slowly makes his way over to Dom and raises the chair. He's ready to strike when Jimmy runs in to stop the onslaught. Jimmy gets in the face of Reigns and he starts screaming, where's your honor? Where's your code? You say that we're embarrassing the family, but look at what you do. People acknowledge you and you still treat them like S-H-I-T, just like my brother, your cousin. Roman lowers the chair. Roman's had enough of the disrespect from Jimmy over the last few weeks. You want to be the head of the table? You want to make the tough decisions I make? You want to provide for this family? Then stop shaming us and show me what you can do. Show me you're hungry enough. Show me that I don't have to carry the weight of the family and this company on my shoulders. And take that from me right now. And Roman points to the Universal Championship. It seems as though the match is scheduled between the two. They butt heads, they're nose to nose, they're about to throw down. But then, whoa, 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 whoa. Jay comes flying in. Woo! He squares up to Reigns. He's getting in Reigns' face, but then no. He turns around. He turns to his brother, Jimmy. And then Jay goes on to say, look, if it wasn't for you, Jimmy, if it wasn't for you getting involved in my match at last year's Hell in a Cell, this might not have happened. I might have become the new Universal Champion. You cost me that. You cost our family. You're the reason that this is happening right now. So, hey, you want to save the family. You want to save me. You take the title and you put a stop to all of this. But if you lose, you put up, you shut up, and you do as the Tribal Chief demands. It's as simple as that. I'm sick of this drama. And then Jimmy's hesitant. He accepts the challenge. He wants to be beside his brother. He wants to do everything he can to protect him from Reigns. He goes to embrace Jay in an emotional moment, but he sees Reigns charging towards them both. Jimmy pushes Jay out of the way. Bosh, done. Spear. Just like that. 1, 2, 3. Reigns has retained the title, and he gains a new member at the table. That's the pitch. Convoluted. Ooh. I know. Long.
That
I apologize.
On some sort of stage, not a wrestling ring.
It's like Hamilton. Now,
Richard and Judy.
Yeah, I like it generally, but it's the ending that I don't know if that does that feel a bit cheap? Have we just been robbed of a match between the two, a full match? Could that be a later date? I don't know.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm gonna give it a yes anyway. But it's like there, it's like there.
Oh.
It's like that. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Oh, it's I'm not teetering. Fully convinced, but I think the positives outweigh the negatives there.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it's a yes. Oh. Anything that benefits Roman Reigns at this stage, I'm fully on board with. And that benefits Roman Reigns quite severely.
Well, I guess as well, like, the idea of the push is, like, Jimmy's still trying to save Jay, and Jay's very conflicted about this anyway. So, like, Jimmy pushes Jay out of the way, and he takes the spear. Otherwise, Roman was going to, like, spear them both anyway and then just go for the cover. Do you know what I mean? Like, because he's an opportunist. He's thinking about this. Like, oh, like, Jimmy's not paying attention. I'll get them both. Then he's down. But then he pushes, like, Jay out the way, and then Jimmy gets clocked. And then Jay can be like, oh, actually, maybe my cousin is a big, big, nasty man, and I should start thinking about these things a little bit more. I don't know. I didn't put that in there, but that's what I just thought now. Whoa, crazy.
There's various avenues it can go.
Yes,
from that point
yes,
on.
Yeah.
That's exciting. We're still on for all yeses, so the pressure's on now. My final pitch happens before the main event of the show. So we're in just a seemingly innocuous gap between the penultimate match and the final one. It's one of the two Hardstyle matches, Lashley and Drew or Roman and Ray. And someone comes out and takes the show hostage and says, oh, stop, stop. Locks himself in the cage, says, oh, this isn't going ahead until I get what I want. And it's a man who was very upset recently with how things panned out at the weekend. It's William Regal, who just is sick of the destruction in NXT, and as it turns out, he's upset enough about it that he wants to hijack this show and say, look, things need to improve, my working conditions need to improve, Regal will do a far better job of this than me, because he's actually a really good actor. And he says, look, this needs to be sorted out right now. Vince McMahon struts on down, he's like, get out! And Regal's not getting out, and Vince, like, bull cutters, unlocks the cell, gets in the ring. Regal's like, come on then, come on. Shane McMahon's music hits. He dances out to back up his dad. It looks like they're going to beat him down 2-on-1. Vince is like, we'll make this match official, damn it. And then Regal gets on the mic and says, I've got a tag partner. Boom! Time to play the game. Here he comes. He's out. And suddenly we've got a tag match. It's Triple H and William Regal against the McMahons. And essentially, like, Triple H and Regal just destroy them for 20 minutes. It's just them just destroying, it's like sledgehammers and all sorts. And that's it. That's my pitch there. And Regal gets what he wants. I don't know what that is. I mean, I don't know what. We'll worry about that on NXT the next week. Like, Triple H has found a newfound respect for Regal from fighting alongside him and stuff. And he's like, but I don't actually know. I don't actually know what Regal's problem is. There were just a few backstage brawls. That's a bit weird.
Yeah, but he's been, like, what, kicked by Adam Cole and all sorts of stuff as well. He always gets caught up in the middle of things. People are always just not listening to him, bless him. He's a good lad. True. Listen to William Regal.
The Lizards might be kicking off at home. That might be the issue.
Yeah,
he keeps them, doesn't he?
He's got Lizards, hasn't he? I think one might be called Larry. I don't know. Might have just made that up. Sounds... I did watch some Practical Jokers last night.
Anyway, so that is my pitch. It's an impromptu tag team Hell in a Cell match between those four guys.
Made it so close. 8 serious pitches and then one silly one right at the end. To be honest, I like the start of it. I like when William Regal comes out on the main roster and says, I'm not happy about NXT. Let's change some things now. Do I want to see Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon tag up here in 2021?
Yes.
Yes, I bloody do. just as long as they lose, though. So I guess it's a yes, but it's a very silly yes. Now, it's a shame we made it so close to the end of the video before things got silly.
No, that was good. It was really good. You get a yes from me because I think that would be awesome to see. What I thought you were going to say was, though, I thought you were going to be like, do you know what? They don't announce the Joe thing, potentially, and then Joe was going to be the guy when you went, boom! And I was like, horns in his thing. And I would have been more on board if it was Joe, I think, but it makes more sense for it to be Triple H, though, I guess, because of the whole family stuff and NXT, obviously.
No, I think you're right. I think it makes more sense to be Joe, but I'm keeping it.
You keep it like that.
Just like
Triple
H. Just like Triple H.
Yeah, it still gets a yes from me, because who doesn't want to see Vince and Shane get battered for 20 minutes in a Hell in a Cell?
Well, fantastic. Thank you very much. And I'd just like to issue an apology right now for ruining the the sort of the gravitas of this series by just slipping one silly pitch in right at the end there.
I was just thinking there. It's been the last few pitches videos. I've been like straight down the middle. I've not done any silly ones like George and the chips in the cage.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, that was good.
Do you remember that period of time where it was just all silly? We just probably turned off a lot of people from watching this.
It jumped the shark for one of the Saudi Arabia shows because I think Sam did like a 30-minute like. It was too silly. It was too absurdist. It was like reading a Thomas Pynchon novel, but I don't know if that'll resonate with...
Right over my head, that one.
It was very absurd. But now we're back on track with a little bit of silliness thrown in, and I think that really is...
A little bit of spaz.
What's that?
A little bit of spaz. Would you like a sweater?
Is this going to be Chris Eubank?
Would you like a sweater?
Have you seen, you know, Greg Davies, the comedian? I think that's what my impersonation is.
An impersonation of Greg Davies doing Chris Eubanks.
Because he just ends up sounding more like Nelson Mandela.
You see it when he does it to Chris Eubanks? I forget what show it's on. Oh, my God.
Chris Eubank comes out. And I've never seen a 6'9" man so scared or however tall he is. Yeah. If you're going to be scared of anyone, Chris Eubank was quite a hard man, notoriously.
Back to the point at hand, if you are... like one of a regular viewer of this series and you have a friend who used to watch it but got turned off by the silliness, tell them that we've gone back serious again. Also like and subscribe and leave a comment that just says, I enjoy this video. That's the best free way you can support Cultaholic is by liking the video, subscribing to the channel and just putting, I like this video, full stop. Honestly, it's true.
Fair enough. Is that what the algorithm dictates?
I've been doing some reading, mate.
Wow.
About YouTube and stuff, it's about time being like
5 years. We've been doing this for long enough, and I still don't know anything about it.
It's a deadly serious thing. It's the best free way you can support Cultaholic is by liking it, leaving a comment. It's like, I like this video, I like this presenter, something like that.
Nice, excellent stuff. Well, thanks very much for joining me in this pitches video, Andrew and Ross. Ross, I'll go to you first. Have you got anything exciting in the works for the near future?
I have a WTF Moments video coming back. Not fails anymore. Ironically, the fails has failed to make a difference. Therefore, it's going back to WTF Moments because what's the point in trying something different? It's the YouTube algorithm, maybe. Or maybe just I'm deadly unpopular these days. Who knows? It's probably the latter, let's be honest.
No,
I'm all right.
Come on now.
It's straight to hell. I did an episode with Colt Cabana. Boom, ba boom, 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 ba boom, boom. Which was a good one. I filmed that last night. And I think that'll be going out on the channel this weekend. Because that's when they normally go out, but nobody tells me nothing. But it's been shot, so at least it's happened.
And Andrew, we know what's coming up for you.
Yeah,
your big match against Adam, your big predictions contest against Adam Pacini. But also, have you got anything else to promote right now?
So on Monday, because I think Tom is off, unfortunately, people will have me as your presenter for Hell in a Cell Graded on Monday. I promise it will not be as long as the NXT ones. I've learned my lesson. Paul Ross had to listen to me do multiple takes when I came in and did the thing.
Presenting's
actually harder than it looks.
Yeah, especially when you're on your own in front of a camera.
That's hard.
It's the silence, isn't it? You don't know if you're saying the right things or not.
We need to do a video where we all talk about what it's like to how hard it is. Mm. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
But yeah, so we've got that. Obviously, the predictions against Adam. So fingers crossed, we win out in that one and we send the naughty man to the smelly dome.
Yeah.
What do you reckon it is this year?
I actually don't know. It's got to be more than last year. Last year was literally a pool full of plops, so I don't know what this year is going to be. I'm scared though for whatever it is because I know it's not going to be nice.
24 hours.
And other than that, twitch.tv/cultaholic on a Monday at 6 p.m. just playing the games and chilling out with people and having a good time. And that's pretty much it for me.
Lovely
stuff. What about yourself, Jack? Go on, tell us.
Wednesdays at 6 p.m. myself and Owen on Twitch will be continuing our journey with Cultaholic FC, and we'll probably have some of the Euros games on in the background, not visually on the screen because that would just get us in trouble, but we'll be like, occasionally we might stop playing and go like, whoa, what a goal by Czech Republic at Hamden. So, you know, we'll see. But thanks very much for watching this video, everybody. Leave your pictures as well in the comments down below and a comment, as Ross said, saying I really enjoyed this video, and we'll see you very, very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.